If you have your Bibles this morning, Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, and Numbers chapter 14. Pretty easy. Joshua 14 and Numbers 14. Joshua 14 and Numbers 14. If you would take note, Joshua 14, verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain. This is Caleb speaking. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the Anakims were the giants. They were the relatives of Goliath. And you'll notice, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And notice this, verse 14. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Now, you'll notice here that he had a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit than everybody else. We know that to be the case. The Lord says it. If you have your Bible, turn to Numbers now. Numbers 14, if you would. Notice, if you would, Numbers 14. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. Numbers 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. So what I want you to see today is the benefits of another spirit. The benefits of a spirit that's different from the world's. A spirit that's different from the people you work with. A spirit that's different. And what this spirit is, it's a spirit of holy following the Lord. We're going to look at it this morning. I want you to see three things about it. Number one, he focused on believing that he could take the promised land. He focused on believing. In other words, he had a singular focus. I believe the Lord can do it. The book of Philippians speaks about the same thing. Having our eyes dreaming big for the Lord. Number two, Caleb forged ahead by dreaming big for the Lord. When we say dreaming big, it's really doing what the Lord wants. It's really doing the will of God for your life. But then notice number three, Caleb followed the Lord totally and walked daily with God, and they brought untold results. Everybody in this room, the Lord has goals for you as a wife, as a husband, as a single person. God has a plan for you. There's nobody in this room that God says, I don't need you. There's nobody in this room that God says, well, you're okay. You're not that important, or you're not very talented. The Lord has a plan for everybody in this room that only you can do in order to meet His perfect will. And you notice here, you know the story. These 12 spies went into the promised land, came back, and they just said, oh my. You'll notice, and they came back. Look, if you have your Bible, look at Numbers 13. You'll see number 13. Verse 27, and they told him, these are the 12 spies, they came back and told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. I don't know how better to say that something is wonderful with milk and honey. And so that became the term for the richest blessings, milk and honey. And notice, if you would, in verse number 27, and this is the fruit of it. And so you'll notice, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, so you'll notice they start ratcheting it up. And they say, well, the people that dwell in the land, their cities are walled. That's number one. They're not going to be easy to take. And number two, and they're very great. So it's not just their wall, they're big walls. Number three, moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. We saw the giants. I mean, we saw giants there that, oh my goodness, we're grasshoppers in their sight. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 30, and Caleb speaks up and stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, you and I have to look at it and look in verse number 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. They said, oh, my goodness. Now, this report by these 10 men came to the people, and notice what it caused. Notice what a negative spirit caused. Notice what a spirit that says, we can't do the will of God for us. No, notice verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They sat up all night crying. That's our dreams. Look, don't give up on your dreams. As long as there's a God in heaven, your dreams are possible. Now, it's going to cost you, and you see what cost it, Caleb. And do you understand, looking at a giant 10 feet tall, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, you would look at that and say, oh, my, I don't have any idea how we're going to defeat him. But if you remember, David was a young, wiry teenage boy. And I think God chose him, and Saul said, wear my armor. And David tried it and said, I can't do this. It just doesn't fit right. And so he goes with this little shepherd bag and a slingshot. You know what the Lord's trying to say? As long as I've got your back, you can do anything. But you and I have to learn to trust him. And you'll notice, and Caleb said, we are well able to go do it. If the Lord be for us, we can do it. And so I just want you to understand, if you feel like in your heart and you've prayed about it and you're walking with the Lord and you're close to the Lord and you feel like the Lord wants you to have this position at work or wants you to purchase this type of home, or he wants you to be a testimony to somebody at work, and the Holy Spirit puts a name on your heart and you see him at work, look, don't give up on it. Realize the Lord can do it. It may be a real challenge. You've got children. Maybe one of the children is a challenge. Look, the Lord doesn't give us children that are unmanageable unless we give up. God loves us. He gives us children to train, and they can be trained. It may challenge us. It may be a giant in our life. It may take both of you getting together. If you're a single lady or a single man, it may take you really working hard at it yourself and focusing in on it. But I want you to understand, it is possible. Whenever we left Dallas and came here, I was in charge of a youth group of about 220, and Jeremy was going into the seventh grade. He was so excited about going into the youth group and all the activities that we had. We came here, and there were two. I was like, Dad, there's no youth group. Dad. So, and then we sent him to a school that was not, it was a Christian school, and yet their direction was not what we really wanted, but it was the best one we could get to. And end result was, I said, you know, let you and I do things. So we got the football. We started throwing the football around. When the wintertime came, we got in the basement. We put up those Nerf basketball rims, and we played basketball. We went and bought a ping pong table. We put it out, and I don't know how many thousands of games of ping pong we played. But it was just, look, it's my job to take care of it. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to try to win his heart. I'm going to try to spend whatever time it takes. My wife spent time with him. We invited his friends over. He didn't go over there because we didn't trust the friends, but they invited him over, and he came over one time, and the children were rude. They were a little arrogant, and they were a little rude to Susan. And after it was all over with, I said, well, what'd you think? He said, they weren't very nice to Mom. I said, I didn't think so either. And that was the end of it. Pick different friends. And he didn't have very many friends, but he had friends that he was acquaintances with, but no real friends. So he and I were friends. And you may have to make those sacrifices. You may have to just say, look, I'm just put things aside. This is what I'm going to do. You do that with your wife or your husband. You may have to set aside some time. Work can eat up our lives. We have to be careful. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, and all, this is Numbers 14:2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, we would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or we would God had died, we had died in this wilderness. Look, we want to go back, basically, was the next phrase. We want to go back. And Moses says, oh my, you know, I would have said that if he were there. But Joshua, and you got to understand, here's Joshua and Caleb, no, we can do this. Now I want you to notice the focus. Number one, Joshua and Caleb, we're going to just focus on Caleb because he was the first one to speak up. And so you'll notice he had this indomitable spirit. But notice, if you would, number one, he saw it as a good land. Look in Numbers 14 and verse 7. You'll notice in verse number 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. Look, it's worth it. It's worth fighting for. It is worth it. And so you and I have to look at things that God places in our life and say, it's worth it. You have to see the value of it. Because if you're going to do anything, if you're going to, let's say you're going to make it as a goal to, you're going to paint your house. You got to see it's worth it when I get it done. Or if you're going to re-landscape your house, or if you're going to lose weight, or if you're going to strengthen yourself, or you're going to change your diet and eat better, or you're going to do anything, or you're going to start saving money for a car, or whatever giant you look at and say, I don't know how in the world we'll ever get our bills paid, or I don't know how we'll ever pay off our house, I don't know how we'll ever be able to buy that vehicle. It's a giant in your life. I don't know how ever I'll be able to witness to the guy at work. I don't know how I'll ever be able to make a difference here or there. Remember, it's a giant that God says, I'll help you. We can do it together. You're not alone. You have to remember that. And he focused on the goal and said, it's an exceeding good land. It'll be worth it. Notice, if you would, not only that, he ignored the peer pressure. Look at Numbers 13, verse 28. He's standing there with 10 different men. Joshua and Caleb are standing with 10 different guys. And they said, okay. Now notice, they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, verse 26. And brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now they bring grapes on a pole. Because they're just huge. And so now Moses is here and keep in mind, Joshua and Caleb, they're there, but it's Caleb that speaks up. Notice Moses doesn't say anything. Notice in verse number 30, and Caleb stilled the people. So he's standing there while these 10 men say, well, we saw the land. Sure enough, it's what you said it was, Moses, what you said it was. It is a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land. But they dismissed it as even a possibility. They said, but there's giants in the land. And notice, if you would, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, and keep in mind, Moses still hadn't spoken yet, it didn't look like. But Caleb is speaking. And the 10 spies spoke and they turned the people's hearts. And Caleb said, it's not turning my heart. I don't believe what they said. And you have to learn if in your family there's an issue and the cousin or aunt or uncle, you have to believe and say, Lord, please, you've got to see that person saved. I know that. You know, Jeanette, how long was it before your brother got saved? The one just got saved. 28 years? You just have to believe. You just can't give up. Brother Sam sent me a... Brother Sam likes to do history stuff, and he found a picture of my family. I don't know where he found it, of my family with me at about 5 years old, my father, my dad's brother. And he said, "Is that the guy that we prayed for?" I said, "Yeah, E.L. He was sitting in the back corner of the room. And I guess we prayed for him for 50 years. He gets saved at 80-something on his deathbed. If anybody would have gotten saved, would have not gotten saved, I would have said, he won't. Filthiest mouth man I've ever met. Couldn't say a sentence without filthy words. Arrogant, proud. His wife divorced him. He could fix anything. He was a electrician. He could do anything. He worked on heavy equipment. Everybody wanted him. And it just made him arrogant. And end result was, I said, if Lord, if you ever saved him, you could do anything. And the Lord did. So don't give up. Notice, if you would, number three, he truly believed in his heart they could fight and take the promised land. Look at Numbers chapter 30 and verse 30. And he said, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." In other words, you notice an urgency. Let us do it now. Let's go now. He said, "For we are well able to overcome it. We can overcome the land and all the issues in it. Let's go." And there takes a courage. So there's this singular focus that Caleb has. Now, I want you to notice quickly, Caleb forged ahead by dreaming for the Lord. He wanted the mountain where the giants were. He saw it as that's the most beautiful place in all the promised land. That's what I want. He didn't see the problems with it. He saw the blessing of it. And so you'll notice, if you would, look at Numbers 14, 8. In verse number 8, it says, right after he says it's an exceeding good land, here's the secret. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. Do you believe that? There's the secret. If the Lord delight in us, if the Lord blesses us, if the Lord wants us there, he and will give it us, land which floweth in milk and honey. Now, I want you to notice that he even saw that not doing the will of God, not going for the mountain, was disobedience. Look, if you would. If you have your Bible, notice Numbers 14:9. Numbers 14:9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. If the Lord wants you to win a certain person to Christ and you don't have the faith to believe, he says, if you don't give it your best, that's like rebellion. They refused to go into the promised land that God had promised them. So if we don't accept the promises of God and say, "Okay, Lord, I'll believe you," he says, it's rebellion. And so I don't know how that happens, but I don't want to be rebellious to the Lord. When the Lord says, "Dave Pittman, you can have this mountain," I don't want to say, "Lord, I don't think so." And he says, "Don't rebel against me." Do you understand? Not doing the will of God in God's sight is rebellion. It is a purposeful saying, "I don't want to do it." Do you remember when Moses was challenged to lead the children of Israel to the promised land? He says, "I can't." Can you name some of the excuses that he gave? Anybody know? Somebody help me with it. Some of the excuses that he gave to the Lord. Pardon me? Repeat it one more time, Nick. He had a speech impediment. He says, "I don't talk very well." He says, "Okay, I'll give you Aaron. He talks good." Then you'll notice he had another issue. He says, "Well, you know, you might remember another one. People won't listen. They won't follow me." And he said, "Yes, they will." He says, "Take what's in your hand." He said, "A rod," and he says, "Throw it down," and it turns into a snake. And he says, "Whoa." And he jumps back and he says, "Grab it by the tail." Now listen to this. Anybody know anything about snakes? What part do you not grab when you see a snake? Why? Because it reaches around and strikes you. Why did Moses say, "Hey, I would have rather go in and take the promised land than grab a snake by the tail"? Because that's like sure death. He reaches down and grabs a snake, and the tail turns into his rod. He had faith. But he was terrified of leading. And so it is important that you and I, some of you men, maybe you're terrified of leading your family and saying, let's pray together. Let's have family altar. Let's ask the Lord to bless our home. Let's do it regularly. Look, I know there's a challenge to that, but the Lord says, I'll help you. If we say, Lord, I don't have time, repel you. Notice if you would very quickly, I want you to see this. In verse 12 of Joshua 14, just keep your finger in both places and turn to Joshua 14. In verse number 12, he says this, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He says, give me the mountain. I want the mountain with the giants in it. Now notice if you would, the difficulty that he was looking at was not too great for him. Why? Because it said, if the Lord delight in me. So how do you get the Lord to delight in you? You wholly follow him. You say, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Lord, if you want me to pray for my uncle to get saved for 50 years, well, I'll do it every day. Lord, if you want me to witness to that guy at work, I can't really witness, but I'll give him a track. I'll leave it on his desk and say, hey, why don't you read that? The gentleman that we just sold the land to, he's a staunch Catholic. And he's actually on some of the boards of his Catholic church. And so to witness to him, I witnessed to him, say, you know, trust in Christ. Said, yeah. And let me give you this. This is the story I think you'll really enjoy. Ever heard of the song? Yeah, I've heard that song. It tells you how to get to heaven. Okay. If you can't verbally finish the plan of salvation, do something. And then bring it up again. And then pray again. We went to lunch. He was 20 minutes late. So we all prayed so we could start eating. I mean, we're eating chips and all kinds of stuff. We went to a Mexican food place. And he shows up. And what do, Brandon? We prayed again. It wasn't because the first prayer didn't work. It's because I wanted him to see that we were going to take the time to pray for our meal and that the Lord was important to us and that we were grateful. And then I didn't just pray for the food. You know, so again, you can use all kinds of things, but don't look at it as too difficult. Whatever God lays in your life, your faith promise, Lord, I don't see how I could give the amount that you put on my heart. Lord, I don't see how I could witness to that person. Lord, I don't know. You know, you just can't give up. Notice, if you would, I want you to see Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, I am yours. Look, if you would, in verse 24 of Numbers chapter 14. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and hath wholly followed me. Notice wholly following. It's believing he can do whatever he wants you to do and be willing to try it. That's what holy following means. For us, it would mean spending time with him in his word regularly. It would be learning about him. It would be adding those things in our life to change our life and make it more like Christ. Notice, if you would, very quickly, I want you to see this. In that reading scripture and studying scripture, Joshua Club memorizing verses, that causes us, it produces in us another spirit. How do you get up in the morning, have your devotion, spend time with the Lord every morning, and have a raunchy attitude all day? The Holy Spirit gets your heart the next morning. You see, it's something that grabs a hold of your heart. But if you lay down the Bible and you stop praying and you don't spend time with the Lord in your mind during the day, then you know what? You can act a lot of different ways. But the Lord brings you back. It's often been said, dirty Bible, you got notes in it, you read it all the time, clean Christian. Clean Bible, dirty Christian. So you spend time in God's Word and put it into your heart and say, Lord, I want to do whatever I can do to please you. I want you to notice, lastly, it produced a great victory. I want you to see this. Look at Numbers 13:33. In verse 33, it says this. Numbers 13:33. And there we saw the giant, the son of Anak. Now notice Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14. Chapter 15 and verse 14. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak and the children of Anak. He drove them out. You say, how? Because God was with him. Today, the Lord promises to be with us if we wholly follow him. I'm preaching to the choir here by being faithful to church. But you come and you're faithful. You know, one of the things that gave me opportunity to serve the Lord was when my parents divorced, my father left, we always went to church. I got up the next morning when my parents had left, my father left, and I went to church. I didn't feel worthy when I walked into church, but I knew I was supposed to be there. And that saved me. When I say saved me, that protected my heart from going the way of the world. Because it was devastating to me to see the man that led my first person to Christ walk away. And so there are anchors you're putting in your children's lives when you read the Bible together, when you pray together, when you talk about spiritual things together, when you dream together, when you come to church together, when you talk about church, when you lead, whenever church is a central part of your life. I'm thankful that you're here today. My prayer is that God would use you to make an eternal difference in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, and that you would wholly follow the Lord, because victories abound if you do that. God promises. Father, thank you for your blessings today. And Lord, I thank you for the example of Caleb having another spirit. Lord, it's a spirit that says God can do anything and I'll follow him. And I pray that you'd help us to have that. In your name we pray. Amen.